بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانك والأبتر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بكل شعرة منها، بكل شعرة أجر، وبكل شعرة من الصوف أجر، أو كما قال عليه السلام. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we will be discussing regarding some of the rules and regulations of Eid al-Adha, and especially of the sacrifice of the animal. It only comes once in a year, so therefore it is important that we do a revision, and all those masalas that we may have become a little bit forgetful of those masalas, the dust settles, so we need to do some dusting, the rust sets in, so we have to do some de-rusting, whatever you want to call it. So we have to do a little bit of revision, and we will do some revision of these masail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded in the Quran this ayat of Surah Kawthar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna shan that fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Wanhar means to do the slaughter of the animals. So it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the slaughter of the animals has to take place. And none other than our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to do the sacrifice of the animals. And he carried out the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every year he would do the sacrifice of animals in Medina. And then when he went on the farewell pilgrimage, then that was the last Eid, and that Eid he did the sacrifice of 100 camels. 100 camels. And 63 of which he did with his own Mubarak hand. And the other 37 were done by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And each of those camels was in lieu of 1 year of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him in this world. And the camels were rushing forward to come to be slaughtered at his hand, because they considered it the highest honor to be sacrificed at the hand of beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without any difficulty, the camels came forward and just willingly went to the sacrifice and slaughter. And so it is an established practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do the slaughter of the animals. And of course it carries a lot of rewards. Some of the rewards which are mentioned is that the sacrificial animal will come on day of Qiyamah with its hooves and with its hide and with its blood, and even all parts of its body, its bones and its skin, everything. And it will be weighed, and the reward will be given to a person for every ounce of that animal. A person will get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be no shortage in the reward that will be given unto him. It is not like how when we buy an animal, then it has a certain, you know, weight, so many kilos, and then we talk of dead weight. By the time the animal is slaughtered and all the blood runs out, and then the skin comes off and all the inner parts of the animal are removed, then what is left is just that part that normally people consume, and that is what is referred to as dead weight. So we only get dead weight. That is what we get from the animal. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give us dead weight, that all the other parts will be subtracted. We'll get the maximum, the full weight of the animal, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, appreciation of our sacrifice and our act of ibadah. So therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that do it with a very good heart and with a very eager and desirous heart. Don't do it reluctantly that, okay, now I have to come out, pay so much money. You know, let me try and save a little bit. And, you know, that overseas they're selling these animals for like, you can't believe how. Allah knows best. I don't want to make any comment on the, but I personally, I don't feel at all comfortable with most of the places where they're doing this overseas sacrifice, where the prices are, you know, even the people we have spoken to in those countries, they said, we don't know how it gets done. We are not in a position to comment on it, because when we do the sacrifice, it's way much more, maybe double or triple the amount that is being, you know, advertised here. Allah is the judge and we leave it in His hand. But I would say that when it comes to a wajib act like sacrifice, then don't cut corners and don't try to, you know, get away with the cheapest animal. Do one's best and buy the best animal possible within one's affordability. And I mentioned previously too, I'm not going to repeat all that part about haggling for price and all of that. Just do it with a good heart and go forward with that. So these are the rewards for every fiber, for every hair, for every fiber of the animal. There is reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every drop of blood that falls of that animal, then a person is forgiven. And then a person will be given this animal as his mount on the day of Qiyamah, that he will cross the Sirat riding on the back of this animal. And when I mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the full weight of the animal, in some narrations it comes that it will be weighed and then multiplied by 70, and then the reward will be given. As if 70 animals were slaughtered and sacrificed. So just think about all these rewards and be very motivated and eager to do the sacrifice. And when we show the eagerness from our side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the means also for the sacrifice of the animal. So now we come to the part about upon whom is qurbani wajib. So first of all, a person has to be a Muslim, of course, and then he has to be mentally sound and sane of mind. And otherwise, a person who's not Muslim, there's no ibadah for such a person, because none of his ibadah is accepted in any case. Without iman, no deed is accepted. So it's futile for such a person to even do any kind of act of ibadah until he has not entered into the fold of Islam. And then it is applicable for the one who is sane of mind. People who are not in their proper mind, that means they have lost their mind, they are insane, then such people are not required by the Sharia to practice on the laws, because it will be beyond their ability, and Allah Ta'ala will not put a burden upon a person beyond their capability. And then of course one has to be of the age of maturity, that is to reach the age of bulugh, because there's no obligation on children. Therefore, a child may have a lot of wealth, but there's no qurbani that's wajib upon the child. The parents are not obliged to take from the child's money and do qurbani. That is not an obligation. And then it comes to being a muqeem. That is, a person must not be a musafir. Anyone who's a musafir, that is, he is traveling over 78 kilometers, and he goes on a journey, then such a person is not obliged to do the act of qurbani. If he does, of course there will be rewards. Undoubtedly there will be rewards. And it is desirable for a person, if he can manage to do it, he should try and do it. Even when he's on safar, he can have qurbani done back home, if he can afford it. Although the obligation is not there technically, but he should still look forward to getting those rewards, because that reward won't come any other time of the year. And no other act of ibadah can compensate for the act of the sacrifice of the animal. And so these are the basic conditions. And finally, you have to be also financially in a capacity to do the act of sacrifice. You must be financially obliged by being owner of nisab. You have to be the owner of nisab, and the one who is the owner of the nisab, such a person, upon him there is the obligation of doing the qurbani. If you are not the owner of nisab, then qurbani is not wajib upon such a person. But here there is a difference between zakah and qurbani, in that zakah you had to be the owner of the nisab for a full year. Here, even if you came in to possess that wealth the morning of Eid al-Adha, it will become compulsory upon you. Or one day before, or a few days before, the qurbani will become compulsory, because the 1 year is not a condition here. To be sahib and nisab in the days of qurbani, then the act of qurbani becomes compulsory upon such a person. And if a person is not sahib and nisab, then qurbani is not compulsory upon him. However, again we say that if a person wants to do the qurbani of his own accord, without even the obligation being upon him, but he can afford, and he makes sacrifice financially, then he will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now a person who does this, of course, the people who upon whom qurbani is wajib and they don't do the qurbani, then that is regarded as a big sin in Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned that person, and he said, مَوَجَدَ سَعَةٍ لِأَيْ يُضَحِّيَ فَلَمْ يُضَحِّي فَلَا يَحْضُرْ مُسَلَّانَ. You are able to, and you don't carry that act of qurbani, the wajib act, out, and you abstain from it for whatever reason, that's not a valid reason, then don't come to the Eid Salat. Why are you coming? Because Eid Salah is wajib, that is a wajib. You're leaving out one, why are you coming now? You shouldn't even come for Eid Salah. Doesn't mean the man should not read Eid Salah. He should still read the Eid Salah. But what it means is that he is so deprived and he's so rejected that even his presence in the Eid Salah is not welcome. Because now he's neglecting such an important obligation of Islam. Nevertheless, if a person had the obligation of qurbani, but due to negligence he did not do the qurbani, then it doesn't mean the obligation is gone. The obligation will remain, but now what will happen is the days have passed. He was supposed to have done the qurbani. What will now happen is that he must give the amount, the equivalent amount, as sadaqah to the poor people, and that will suffice for the qurbani. You can't go and buy an animal and slaughter it and now give the meat to the poor people. After the days of qurbani are over, there is no qurbani like this. That is not accepted. It has to be given as sadaqah to the poor people, and that is how he will compensate for the qurbani that he had missed. If a traveler returned home, or a poor person became wealthy before sunset on 12th of Zulhijjah, say by Asr time the man returned home, or by Asr time this person suddenly, you know, acquired a lot of wealth, then qurbani will be wajib upon this person, that he must quickly arrange to buy an animal and have it slaughtered, so that the rule of the obligation of the qurbani can be fulfilled. Now the days of the qurbani. The days of the qurbani, as we all know, is from the 10th, it starts off after the Eid Salah, in places where Eid Salah is taking place. So if Eid Salah is taking place in a town, in a city, in a locality, then he cannot do the sacrifice of the animal before the Eid Salah. If he tries to do the sacrifice of the animal before the Eid Salah, it's not valid. Why? Because it is outside of the prescribed time. But if he is living in a place where there's no Eid Salah, like a farm somewhere, and he does the sacrifice of the animal as soon as the Shubha Sadiq time sets in on the 10th of Zulhijjah, morning of Eid, then his sacrifice will be valid, because now the time has set in for people in those places, in the farms and so on. But in places where Eid Salah is taking place, it has to happen after the Eid Salah. And of course, if there is different times of Eid Salah in a town, then as soon as the first Eid Salah is completed, even if he himself did not read his Eid Salah, the sacrifice of the animals can start. As soon as the first Eid Salah of that community or that town has been performed. Later, they may have some other Eid Salahs. Later, he doesn't have to wait for all the people to finish the Eid Salah and then start with the sacrifice of the animals. And of course, it will continue from then right through to the 11th of Zulhijjah, and it will even go right up to the 12th of Zulhijjah, until just before sunset of the 12th of Zulhijjah is the time for the sacrifice of animals. And these are known as Ayyamun Nahar, the days of the sacrifice of animals, the spilling of the blood of animals, is 10th, 11th and the 12th of Zulhijjah. As far as the animal itself is concerned, there are certain important considerations, and that is, first of all, the animal has to be those animals that are domesticated, that is either a sheep, a goat, or a cow, or an ox, or a bull, or a domesticated buffalo, or a camel. These are animals that are permissible for sacrifice. One cannot sacrifice an animal that is not within this category, because it won't be considered a domesticated animal. If a person decides to sacrifice a springbok, or an antelope, or a kudu, or eland, or blesbok, or whatever other wildebeest or something that he caught, and now he says, I'm going to slaughter this animal for Eid al-Adha, is not permissible, it's not allowed. Because those are wild animals, they are not considered as domesticated animals. Then, when it comes to the age of the animal, in as far as the small animals are concerned, it has to be 1 year old. That's the age of the animal. And a bull, that's the small animals. And a bull or a cow or a buffalo will have to be at least 2 years old, and a camel has to be 5 years old. Any animal that is below its age is not permissible for the sacrifice. You cannot sacrifice that animal because it's underage. It has to be above the age. So make sure that when you do the qurbani, you check the ID, date of birth and all that, pull that out. Go home affairs, tell them what the date of birth of this cow of mine, or this goat, or my sheep, you know, and make sure that you have checked its ID document before you go ahead with the sacrifice of this animal. But obviously, we know that this is meant in a light-hearted way. The actual reality is that the people who are experienced with animals, farmers and people who are livestock dealers and so on, they know how to say the age of animals. And there are certain signs. We ask those people who are experienced and they will tell us. Right. Now, there's one exception to the rule, and that is the sheep that is above 6 months, but it is so healthy that it appears to be 1 year old. Then it will be permissible to sacrifice such a sheep for qurbani. So there are two conditions. Number one, it must be above 6 months. You can't take, even no matter how fat the sheep may be, but if it's below 6 months, it's not allowed. It has to be above 6 months. And the farmers have a way of saying that too. They say that when the fiber of the wool is very fine, it is a sign that this is a young, very young animal. When the fiber becomes rough, then that is a sign of a animal that is now, of proper age. And it must be a healthy animal. If it's thin, then even if it is above 6 months, that animal is not allowed for sacrifice, because the condition for 6 months is that it must be a healthy animal, so healthy that it appears to be 1 year old. So that can also be gauged by the weight of the animal and so on. From the weight of the animal, you will see whether it's healthy or it's not healthy. So these are the rules as far as the sheep is concerned. And it's very important that we keep this masail in mind when we are purchasing the animal. Don't just go and buy a qurbani animal or buy the qurbani animal over the phone. If you can afford to go and see the animal, then go yourself and ask the necessary questions and inspect the animal and see to it that the animal has no defects and so on, which we are going to discuss very shortly. Then a big animal, it will suffice for 7 people. You can have 7 shares from a big animal, but no more than 7 shares. You can't say this animal is very big, so we go for 10 shares. That's not allowed. It will be maximum 7 shares. And those 7 shares are such that the niyat of everyone in there must be of an act of ibadah and not just merely for the meat. If one person amongst the 7 shareholders says that, no, I'm doing the qurbani, you know what, I haven't had steak for a long time, these brothers are cutting, it's going to work out quite economical, instead of buying from the butcher shop, I'm putting my share in there, and his intention is only for the meat, then everybody's qurbani will be actually nullified and they will have to repeat it. So therefore, whoever is doing the qurbani, the intention must be purely an act of ibadah. So it could be with the intention of qurbani. It could be even with the intention of aqiqah. You can make the intention of aqiqah as well. So if somebody made intention of aqiqah, then that will be allowed. Right? And if it's in the haramain and somebody made intention of dam shukriya, then also it will be allowed, it will be permissible. As far as the small animals are concerned, only one person can share in a small. 2 people can't share in a small animal. And if the seller of the animal gives the age of the animal, and outwardly there does not seem to be any reason not to believe, then one can take his word for it. And you can say that, fine, I go with his word, and you will not be sinful if you accepted his word. And you bought the animal, and you made the animal, your qurbani will be valid. If he lied, the sin will be on him. Now, the animals that are permissible for qurbani and those that are not permissible. So the first requirement is that animal must have the right age. Number 2, it must not have any defect that is considered a defect according to the Shariat. So animals that are blind or partially sighted or one-eyed, the sacrifice of such animals is not allowed. If it has lost 1/3 of its vision, 2/3 are there, but 1/3, it has lost just more than 1/3, 1/3 or more than 1/3, then one cannot sacrifice such an animal. It will not be allowed for qurbani. And again, on a light-hearted note, we don't say take it to our opticians or optometrists and put it there and make it try and read the letters, because they're going to say ba ba ba, and you say, if that's the first letter, you say, hey, this chap's eyes are quite good. So we will look at the experienced people who know about animals, and they will be able to say what is the defect in the eye of the animal. And there are tests that you can do. For example, you take hay or whatever it is, and you dangle it in front of you, and the animal is at a distance, and you try to see whether it can see that grass, whether it can see or not. And if it can see the grass at a certain distance, say 9 meters, it can see that grass, and it comes towards it, and it eats that grass, then it's a sign that, okay, this animal, this is the vision, this is its eyesight. Now, you take another animal, and that animal is placed in the same position, but it can't see, it's not coming forward. So then you go a little more in front, and if you went less than one third of that distance, and the animal came forward, then we will say, okay, its vision is slightly weak, but it is good enough for seeing the hay. But if you went right up to one third and more than one third towards the animal, even two thirds, and it can't see the hay, then you must say, hey, what is wrong with you? Here's the hay. Why are you not having the hay? So then you will know that this animal's vision is defective. Maybe it was watching too much of TikTok, so its eyesight became very weak. So that's as far as the eye, the vision. Then it comes to the ear of the animal. If it has lost its ear completely, or it has lost a third of its ear and more, then such an animal is considered defective and it cannot be sacrificed. If the animal has no ear from its very birth, then also such an animal cannot be sacrificed. If an animal's horn is broken, if it's broken anywhere on the top, then it will be permissible for sacrifice. But if it is broken from the root, the actual root, then such an animal is not allowed for sacrifice, because it will be considered to be an animal that's gone insane. When it has brain damage. It's a brain damaged animal. If an animal has got one leg that is lame, that it only walks on three legs, and it's unable to use the fourth leg at all, then you cannot sacrifice that animal because it's a lame, it's limping animal. But if it drags the leg, it can't walk properly on it, but it's still able to drag the leg, then it will be allowed for qurbani purposes. If the animal is so weak that due to excessive weakness, it can't even walk to the place of slaughter on its own, then that animal is also not allowed for sacrifice purposes. Then similarly, if it is so thin and lame, and it is so weak, and it is so, emaciated, that it has no flesh almost, such an animal cannot be offered for qurbani. Also, if the animal has lost all its teeth, they went to dentist shop for extraction, and they didn't do any, root canal on that animal, no, what they call those implants, no implants were done. Right, so that animal can't, the qurbani can't be done of that animal. Or if it has lost most of its teeth, then also qurbani cannot be done. But if some teeth are lost and some are still there, then we'll say no, it's permissible and it's allowed for the qurbani of that animal. An animal that has been castrated, such an animal is absolutely permissible for qurbani purposes. In fact, for goats and so on, that's required to prevent the smell of the meat, they normally castrate the animal, then it eliminates the smell from the animal. And also, we come to the the tail end of this maslas of the defects of the animal, and that's when we will discuss the masla of the tail. I left it for the end, the tail masla. Now when it comes to the tail, according to the classical works of the fiqh, the animal whose tail has been cut a third or more, then such an animal is not worthy of sacrifice. And if it has its full tail, then it is fully permissible. You can slaughter such an animal if all the other conditions are met. Now, there's a difference of opinion amongst the senior muftis of our times on the masla itself. Some muftis are of the view that a sheep whose tail has been docked, that's what they use the word, has been docked, they say it will be permissible, although in the fiqh kitabs the one-third masla is mentioned there, but they say it will be permissible because of the reason for the cutting of the tail. Others say, no, we will still stick by the one-third of the tail masla, and that's our verdict. Those who say that it is permissible to slaughter an animal whose tail has been cut, they say that this is for health reasons. It's not to create a defect in the animal, but it's actually to enhance the health and well-being of the animal. Especially the animals that are not free range and that are not, fed of the land, but they're sort of fed of the feed lot, they call them feed lot animals. Then the feed lot animal, it develops certain diseases and certain defects because there's a certain worm that gets into its tail and it's deadly, fatal. It can cause the animal to die. So this is the experience of farmers, sheep farmers, that they cut the tail off so that this worm can't find its way into the animal's body and harm it. And so for the purposes of enhancing its well-being and its health and to protect it from harm, they cut the tail, and this is the reason for cutting the tail. So there are those muftis who say that it will be permissible altogether to sacrifice such an animal. Two great muftis who visited our country years ago, Mufti Wali Hassan Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, and Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Hassan Gangohi, Rahmatullah Ali, the Grand Mufti of India. Mufti Mahmood Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, was of the opinion that if it's one-third or more is cut, you can't sacrifice it. Mufti Wali Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Ali, on the other hand, when he heard the explanation and so on, he gave the permissibility and he said that there is no prohibition in the sacrifice of such animals. So when people used to ask Mufti Mahmood Saab Rahmatullah Ali the masla, then he used to say, see, according to me and my view, it's not allowed. But if you want to follow Mufti Wali Hassan Saab's view, his view is that you can adopt his view also. And you can practice on his view if you want. So this is how, respectful they were towards each other in the difference of opinion and so on. They didn't say, no, my view is the view. And there's no other view but my view. That was not their approach. The approach was, yes, this is my view. You're asking me, then I will give you my fatwa according to my research. But there is also another research. So you are free, you can take whichever Mufti's view you want to follow. And this is how they guided the people. So nevertheless, if anyone cuts an animal without the tail or without the full tail, then we should not say to that person that your qurbani is not valid, or you must repeat your qurbani. It's not correct for us to say that to the person, because he may be practicing on one verdict, and that is his the verdict that he has followed, that he's following. So that is as far as the tail issue is concerned. Then now we come to the actual method of the sacrifice of the animal. Now it is virtuous to buy the animal a little earlier than the days of sacrifice and to take care of it and to feed it and so on and to develop a little bond with it. That is the ideal. If it is possible, if we are living in a block of flats on the 10th floor, 15th floor, and you go up there in the lift, you take all your whole, you know, 5-6 sheep upstairs there, and you put it in the balcony, you know, and now they are, first of all, the bleating of the sheep, and then the smells and all of that, and you say to your neighbors, don't worry, this is my Qurbani sheep, you keep quiet now, 1 month before you took it. Those neighbors would be so upset that what are you doing, you can't. So it is not for those circumstances. But if you've got your own nice spacious yard, and it's also safe there, because if you want to put the sheep there, and next morning you come there and there's only fresh air, there's no sheep left there. The sheep are gone. As it is, they got their own four legs, and then somebody else comes and helps them, you know, so then they'll be gone. So don't put it, you know, in such a place where it's prone to theft and so on. But if it's possible, you got sufficient space and all of that, and you can have a little pen in your yard and it's secure and all of that, and you keep that without causing any inconvenience to anyone, then one should try to, you know, bring the animals a little earlier and develop a relationship with them. And there are some people, subhanallah, they buy a lamb for next year's qurbani and they keep it with them like a pet in the house, and it becomes so used to them, and they're feeding it and they tending to it and they taking care of it and they looking after it to such an extent that it becomes like a child in the house. It becomes so attached to them and they become so attached to it that when they have to do the act of sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha, it is like a rock they have to put on their hearts to make the sacrifice. And it causes them so much of pain to do the sacrifice, but for the pleasure of Allah, they put the animal down and they sacrifice it. Then the tears are flowing from their eyes and they are grieved by the sacrifice. So their reward is so high by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because now they really, this is now qurbani. Qurbani is sacrifice. This is actual qurbani. But nevertheless, if we didn't have that facility, then we buy the animal and we keep it wherever it has to be kept, and you know, the people who are keeping it there are looking after the animal and they tend to it and they, you know, give it its feed and its fodder and all of that, and eat the, they probably will keep it, and they, some have the facility where you can do the sacrifice right there at their facility, and they even got facility of skinning the animal and, you know, cutting it and gutting it and cleaning it and slicing it and packaging it and all of, like a full service like we find in today's day and age, that every part of the animal is properly, you know, wrapped and packaged and labels and everything. So, mashallah, alhamdulillah, this is a ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us in this day and age. We pay a little extra for that service, but yes, then the animal is virtually delivered to your door as, you know, the parcels of meat that are coming. So, we come to the actual act of sacrifice of the animal, and when the time comes, then we have to first of all abide by the rules of the sacrifice, that we should not allow the animals to be afraid or fearful by slaughtering one animal in front of another animal, showing the blood of one animal to another animal, sharpening the knife in front of the animal, because the animals have some degree of perception. They have some degree of understanding and intelligence, and they can see what you are doing. It's very cruel to the animal to treat it like that. And then the animal should be led to the place of sacrifice in a dignified way, not to drag it and pull it and, you know, treat it harshly, but it should be taken gradually, nicely, to the place of sacrifice, and it should be placed with its neck facing the direction of the Qibla, and then the person must know how to do the slaughter of the animal. You shouldn't try to slaughter the animal if you don't know how to do it. First learn, see from the people around you, and once you know how to do it, then only you should attempt to do it. It is better for a person to do their own sacrifice. And even the sisters can do the sacrifice of their own animals too. It's not only for males. Of course, there must be proper parda and so on. There must be specialized spaces for them. But they can also do the sacrifice if there's only family people there and so on. Or there's a concealed area. They are allowed to sacrifice their own animal. And now, when we place the animal down for sacrifice, then, as I said, the knife must be sharpened before, and it must be a swift cut. It shouldn't be a blunt knife, or it mustn't be an inexperienced person trying to cut it. It must be a very swift cut, painless for the animal. And at that time, a person must read the necessary du'as, first of all, to make the intention that this is my animal of qurbani, of wajib qurbani, I'm carrying out this act of wajib qurbani. And then to read the du'as, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And then to read the tasmiyah, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. And then to read, Allahumma taqabbalhu minni kama taqabbalta min habibika Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa khalilika Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allahumma minka walak. All the necessary du'as, try to memorize it, revise it, and then read the du'as at the time of the sacrifice of the animal. And keep the spirit of the sacrifice in front of us at that time. Picture Ismail alayhi salam there lying on the ground. Picture Ibrahim alayhi salam standing with a knife in his hand. Picture how a father is willing to carry out Allah's order. Picture the fact that Allah, imagine now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me to slaughter my children, how it would be. And would I be able to carry out that order like Ibrahim alayhi salam was willing to? And then consider this to be a great act of great Nabi of Allah, great Anbiya alayhi salam, and with the seriousness and, you know, the solemnity that this occasion calls for, with that full spirit and that taqwa, go ahead and do the sacrifice of the animal and think about the rewards of it and think about the significance of it. And all these things must be in front of a person. We don't just go there like a cowboy, you know, brandishing your knife and, you know, showing all your bravado in front of this weak, you know, helpless animals. You want to act like a big, you know, big gangster there or whatever. You want to act like, you know, you're very strong and tough and you're trying to show your bravery. That's not the spirit of qurbani. Qurbani is not about that. Qurbani is to become humble and submissive before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to appreciate the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to appreciate the animal, that this animal is in lieu of my life that Allah has given me to sacrifice. So keep these things in mind. It's not an occasion for fun and making fun and having fun and, you know, laughing and joking and giggling and, you know, just chattering. This is a solemn occasion. It's an act of ibadah. Keep the solemnness of that occasion in front of one and do the qurbani with that spirit in front of one. It's a taking of a life of an animal. Life is a life. Even if it's an animal's life, it's sacred. We are taking a sacred life. It's not an occasion to be laughing and joking and, you know, all kinds of humor. That's not the occasion for that. And after the animal has been sacrificed and we've read the du'as and all of that, then now it comes to the part of the skin and meat of the animal. So the skin of the qurbani animal can be used for oneself if you want to use it. You can give it to some poor people if you want to. You can give it as a gift to some friends or family if you want to, but you are not allowed to sell it. Nor can one sell the meat of the qurbani. You can give it to the poor, you can give it to family, you can give it to neighbors, you can give it to friends, and you can eat from it yourself. And you can give it even to non-Muslim people. If they accept it, you are allowed to give it. Even it's not only that you can give qurbani meat only to Muslims. One can give even non-Muslim friends and neighbors and so on. If the skin of the animal was sold, then it is wajib to give that amount in sadaqah to the poor. And the parts of the animal cannot be given to people as wages for the slaughter or the skinning or cleaning of the animal. You can't say to the people, all right, look here, you came here to help me to skin the animal, right, the skin is yours, I don't pay you, but you take the skin, that is yours. Or even if you pay the person, but part payment you're making in the, you know, you say, take this part of the animal, that part, you can take the head, you can take the legs, and that's part payment of your dues, you can't do that. That's not allowed. And the rope and all the things associated with the qurbani animal, whatever things, there, besides the knife, all other things, should be given away as sadaqah too. You shouldn't even keep those items. Give it away as sadaqah. And the meat of the big animals has to be divided between the partners on the basis of weighing and not on estimation. You can't say, right, look, this piece here, this looks like equal to that, so that's your piece. No, that's not allowed. It's not permissible to do such a distribution. It has to be weighed. And then the people who are going to get, you know, the leg or the head or something, then that's what they're going to get. So it has to be equal all round. So one has to be careful how we go about the division so that no person feels aggrieved that, you know what, they gave me the four legs and the head and they took all the nice rump steak and fillets and all those parts they took for themselves and they gave me this part of the animal. So one has to be conscious of these things when it comes to the division of the big animal, the meat of the big animal. And one must also remember that certain parts of the animal are not permissible for consumption. It's not allowed. And those are the private parts of the animal, whether it is male or female, the bladder of the animal, the blood of the animal, the gall bladder of the animal, the glands of the animal, the spinal marrow of the animal. These are the prohibited parts, and one is not allowed to eat these parts of the sacrificed animals. And finally, we would like to mention about the importance of the isale sawab on behalf of a marhumin. So if Allah Ta'ala gives a person the means, then do qurbani on behalf of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he did for his ummah. And if possible, do one for his ummah. Do for sahaba or the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Or do for one's deceased parents. Or do for one's pious elders, your ustad, your sheikh, etc., from whom you acquired your deen, your knowledge. You can do a qurbani for them, whether they're living or they're deceased. One can do on behalf of anyone, of one's relatives, family, elders, and so on. A sacrifice can be done on behalf of all of these people, and they will receive the reward, and you will also receive the reward. Both parties will receive the reward, but of course this can't be done in wajib qurbani. You can't say, alright, this wajib qurbani is for me too, and my father, and my grandfather, and you know, my uncle, and my auntie, and all the people are in this wajib qurbani. You can't make that intention. That's not allowed. When it comes to the nafil qurbani, yes, you can include as many people as you want. And for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's preferable to do a separate qurbani altogether. So these are some fundamental aspects of the qurbani. We must keep all these things in mind, revise these maslahs, and try to comply as much as possible, because this is not just a sacrifice of any animal. It's a qurbani animal. This is not just cutting an animal for its meat. We are doing this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's mercy that He allowed us to partake of the meat of the animal. But in the previous ummahs, they were not even allowed to partake of the meat of the animal. It was prohibited strictly. Qurbani animal must be lie there. And it can rot. Animals can eat it. But human beings were not allowed to eat. This is only the favor on this ummah that Allah Ta'ala allowed us to eat from the qurbani meat. And that brings me to the last part, and that is qurbani meat is meat of barakah. It is an animal that was sacrificed in Allah's name. So we should try to eat from the qurbani meat. There are people who don't want to eat the qurbani meat at all. They say, just give everything away. We can't take the smell of this meat, and we don't like this, and we don't like that. This is like a form of disregarding Allah Ta'ala's favor and ni'mat. And on Qurbani day, they want to eat chicken. Whereas, that's the day for eating the flesh of these animals that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave one. Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and other akabirin, for 3 days, they would only eat for all three meals of Qurbani meat. In different styles, it was cooked as curry and, you know, as fried and braised and whatever form it was, they would have the meat. They say this is Allah's mehman nawazi, Allah's hospitality. How can we? And preferably, the first thing a person should eat is from the meat of the animal on the day of Eid al-Adha. If it's possible. And the fastest part of the animal to cook is the liver, what they call the kaleji. So the liver is very easy to cook. It cooks very quickly. So ideally try to have the liver first, then you can eat the other parts of that, then you can eat whatever else you want. But that way you are able to have of the qurbani animal as the first thing you eating on the Eid day. There's no roza on Eid day. People say, you know, I broke my roza, I just had my kaledi. There's no roza there. So you mustn't use that word roza, for Eid day is haram. But yes, you should not eat in the morning when you're going to the Eid Salah on this Eid, unlike Eid al-Fitr. And here when you come back, ideally you should. But if you can't, it's not possible, then you can eat. There's no hard and fast. It's not wajib or farz or anything. It's a mustahab. But if you can, try to practice on it. One great alim came to our country, and then immediately after Eid Salah, he went to the house and they had a breakfast prepared, and you know, meat was served. And he said, is there any part of the sacrifice, qurbani? And they said, Hazrat, this is all qurbani meat. So he was astonished. He said, we just came from Eid Salah, and how quickly. They told him, Hazrat, this is last year's Qurban. Last year's Qurban. It was kept in the freezer for that morning of the next Eid. So don't be one who's hoarding the meat for so long, for a whole year, and then you're taking it out on that day, and you're having it. So these are some of the aspects. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can put into practice all these masail to the best of our ability. Allah Rabbul Izzat give us tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give us guidance and acceptance. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.